The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. Like it should, day and night. Good morning, Jefferson. This is Wynn Carpenter. My partner in crime, Terry, is off committing a crime somewhere, I'm sure, and he'll be back next Sunday, hopefully. I have a special guest in today, Rich Gallardo. How you doing, Rich?
Good morning. I'm trying to sound like Terry.
Good luck. You're Italian. He's Portuguese. Not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
Okay, before we get off to what you're going to cover, I have a couple little things that I need to cover real quick, a little bit of housekeeping. The Shasta GOP is having a fundraiser. It's called Denim and Diamonds, and it's going to be held at the Shasta County Senior Center on Saturday, September 9th. Doors open at 5 p.m., and the address is 2290 Benton Drive. And come join us for dinner and auction and all kinds of fun stuff. It'll be a featured speaker, and that speaker will be announced here pretty soon. And tickets can be purchased at ShastaGOP.org. Again, ShastaGOP.org. And it's $50 per ticket, or $400 or $900 per table, depending on the package you want to go for, if you want to buy and sponsor a table. And if you want to come participate, we'd love to have you there. Again, go to ShastaGOP.org to get your tickets. And then we have another fundraiser. This one's coming up in October. I just want to put it out there for everybody to get their tickets on this one as well. This is the first annual Justice Crab Feed. Join the fight against human sex trafficking, especially here locally. They're trying to get everything cleaned up. This will be on October 21st. I know it's a ways away, but still, you know, you want to get your tickets sooner because, according to folks, this always sells out. And this could be held as a Reading Civic Auditorium. Doors will open at 5:30 and $75 per ticket for open seating. And if you want to get a hold of anybody via email or anything, just call, text or email, actually, justicecrabfeed@gmail.com. Again, justicecrabfeed@gmail.com. Okay, there you have it. Our two events coming up. Keep your eyes peeled, and let's see what we can do to help support these good causes here locally. All right, Rich, let's jump into what you've got going and see where it takes us.
Thank you. Well, I do have two short announcements also.
Okay,
but then the hour is going to be taken up talking about elections, local elections. so the first couple of announcements, just for those that are not aware, Anderson High School Board last week had a meeting where they approved a policy. Vote was 4-1.
Okay.
To expand parental rights and parental notifications for kids. So that was actually a really good thing. They were the fourth school district in California. I believe they modeled their policy after Chino Valley School, which I believe was the first one.
Right.
So Chino, Temecula, Anderson, I forget the fourth one at the moment. Murrieta, I believe, was the fourth one. Okay. And there was a story in the local news yesterday. Our beloved Attorney General, Bonta, apparently he doesn't like it that Anderson is passing a policy.
Oh, really? He doesn't like that Shasta County is taking care of business up here?
Yeah. Well, again, we're not the lead here, but we're definitely in the front.
Right. And well, we're in the lead in the North State.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yes. It's like all the other places are a whole other state away. They're in Southern California, and here we are up here fighting for what we need to fight for.
So good for Anderson for doing that.
Now, is everything, because I didn't attend the meeting, I always, you know, I have to go by hearsay for trusted sources that were there.
Yeah, I was there.
Oh, okay. So everything was done above board, everything's legitimate and all that stuff. There's not going to be any reason for the state to come visiting their school board, is there?
Well, remember, we live in a criminal state, so they can do whatever they want.
The state.
So, yeah. The state. Yeah. States can do whatever they want. Yeah. So morally and ethically, no, the state should not retaliate at all.
Okay.
Because, you know, school boards have local autonomy. It's in the education code. They have local autonomy. And then the state takes it away little by little.
Of course.
So we just have to stand grasp. We got to take back our sovereignty and our local autonomy. And that's part of what Anderson did, which was a good thing.
Now, part of that, my understanding is that the teachers have to do the reporting. Why wouldn't they, if I'm wrong, correct me, please, but why wouldn't they not have, say, the school counselors do the reporting to the parents? And, you know, yes, the teachers report it to the counselor. They document it that way, pass it on to the counselor. The counselor takes it and deals with it. Why would they not have that?
Well, the policy basically reads more or less any employee of the district has the responsibility of reporting. So it's not just on the teachers. It's pretty much anybody that works for the district.
Okay, so somebody, you know, a secretary, if you will.
Correct, staff.
Staff.
Correct. Staff's
staff
on there.
General. Yeah. Classified
so
and non-classified.
Anybody can report.
Okay.
Anyway,
okay.
So, and then this is the purpose of this podcast. But the second announcement I had, this just came up this week. Somebody that I know very well. Not me, by the way. they're getting ready to add a gun to their concealed carry permit. So prior to doing that, they're reading over the Shasta County Sheriff's Concealed Weapons Policy.
Okay.
Which is available, and I'm going to be asking people to go to this policy because he found some big problems here. There's some big problems with this policy that need to be addressed.
Uh-oh.
So go to the Shasta County website, click on departments, and then click on sheriffs, and then do a search for Shasta County Sheriff CCW policy. It's actually policy number 206, Shasta County policy 206, sheriff's policy. and I'm just going to read it real quick here. Let me scroll down a little bit. License restrictions. Which is 206.6.1 C, little letter C. The alteration of any previously approved firearm, including, but not limited to, adjusting the trigger pull, adding laser sights, or modifications, shall void any license and serve as grounds for revocation.
Really?
Gee, I wonder how many people have laser sights on their concealed guns.
Well, so you know that you're hitting your target.
So this policy is gravely mistaken. It should not be written as such. So what I'm going to ask everybody to do is read this policy for yourself,
mm-hmm.
and then give the sheriff your feedback. Okay?
Hmm.
Sheriff, sheriff at co.jasta.ca.us.
Okay.
And email him your concerns, if you have them, on this policy, because I just read it to you.
And
so literally, if you add a site under this subsection C, shall void, doesn't say may void, shall void any license and serve as grounds for revocation. Revocation means you're never going to get it back.
Okay, so how can law enforcement have that but you can't?
Okay, well, this
no.
is as far as I want to take this today because
gotcha.
We're already eating up a quarter of the hour. But
Yep.
But this is so I'm part of the local rifle pistol chapter.
Right.
Okay. So I'm now the wheels are now turning.
Mm-hmm.
So once I can get my local chapter to take a bite on this, we'll be sending this down to Fullerton for some lawyers to get involved.
Okay.
Anyways, everybody read it. Send your comments to the sheriff ask him to change it.
Is that new? I mean, is that a brand new policy?
No.
Has it always been?
No, I have two versions from 2020, and then this one is August of 22. So this one was updated a year ago.
Okay, so we just
it's
now
been in
that.
Place for several years.
Okay.
So it's just been sitting there, but it shouldn't be written that way, obviously.
Yeah, okay.
So what we're going to talk about today, Wynn, is election stuff.
Election.
We have election stuff going on in Shasta County.
Really? Didn't know that.
My gosh. The fun never ends. Well, you know, the thing is, ever since November of 2020, many people have had concerns over elections. Actually, in 2016, even the Democrats were complaining mm-hmm. all over the place about election fraud because Trump won. He shouldn't have won. So both sides of the aisle are complaining about election issues.
Yep.
But nothing has ever made it into a courtroom for full discovery and full evidentiary hearings.
Okay.
There's dozens and dozens of lawsuits across this country. couple of them have made it into like a preliminary stage,
yeah,
and then they get booted out for standing or something to that effect. So there's never been a full court hearing to its completion with full discovery and evidence. It hasn't happened. Now, that's another issue, which we're not going to talk about today. But the point is, that's why we continue to pursue a fair and transparent election. I don't know why people use the word free. Nothing free in life.
Nope.
Fair and transparent election. And we here in Shasta County, a bunch of us, we're not going to let go until we get a fair and a transparent election.
Okay.
Again, we've had the four independent statistical type experts in this county, and they all looked at the June 22 primary. And they all said, you got problems. Y'all got, no, this is Shasta. Y'all got problems up there.
And they all look at it independent of each other, correct? Absolutely.
They're all, yes, they're fully independent of each other.
Okay.
And they all look at things in a different manner, statistical, historical, demographic. They look at it, you know, in a multitude of different angles. So, and a couple of them have been at the board chambers, at the microphone, giving reports to the Board of Supervisors. But we're not going to let this go until we get a fair and transparent election in Shasta County.
Okay.
So, in our illustrious Kathy Allen, I don't use her middle name, Kathy Allen, our registrar of voters, she unfortunately, for more than a couple years now, continues to lack transparency and honesty in the activities in her office and even her activities outside the office.
Yeah, I question
She went
that.
To Arizona twice.
Washington,
she went
D.C.
to Chicago. Well, we know what she did in Washington, D.C., because there's videos and transcripts, right? But the Chicago and the Arizona trips, crickets. Cue the crickets. Nothing.
Who's paying for that?
I have the documents. So
Shasta County.
She has, she has got reimbursed with Shasta County for at least the Arizona trip. I haven't checked Chicago, but here's the thing. Her lackeys, who like to harass Kevin Cry on his election-related trips outside the county, and Kevin immediately tells all.
Right.
To this day, we know nothing of Kathy Allen's travels. Nothing. Zero, zilch, nada, niet, nine. Nothing.
Wait, we're her employers.
She refuses to go public, as Kevin Cry has.
What's she afraid
with
of?
With her travels outside the county regarding elections, and that is just... I don't even, I almost don't have words, and that's hard for me to not have words. But, I mean, that just continues to make us, that strengthens our will in this county for fair and transparent elections, because our ROV is hiding something.
She's not transparent.
Yes.
I mean, that sounds like just the way she operates.
She's hiding. Well, at this point, she's hiding.
Yeah.
She's been asked many times, not just by me, there's been other people in the board chambers, discussed her outside travels, and yet she still refuses to answer. That's amazing in a bad way.
The board doesn't have jurisdiction over that, do they? Other than just the money.
They have financial oversight over her office.
Yeah.
But she's also a county officer.
Correct. Elected
so
official.
Board, yep. So she's obligated to follow county ordinances, county policies. Absolutely, she is.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a little bit of accountability there as a county officer. They can vote for no confidence of her. Gee, I really hope that comes soon. They really need a vote of no confidence against her and a censure of both.
Amen.
They just do. After 2 years of her non-transparency and refusals, and she's not giving us a lot of the Records Act information that I have asked and other people have asked for also. And we're being refused items. We're items being redacted.
So
it's just ridiculous.
How is that legal for her to do that? I know it's not moral and ethical. I mean, if you'd have nothing to hide, you know.
So under the old county councils, which was Cruz, I haven't done a serious Records Act with Kathy since Ruben Cruz was county council. And he always initiated these very generic defenses against the redactions or refusals. He would say attorney-client privilege. Client. I'm just telling you what his reasons were.
Yeah. Okay.
Kathy Allen's the client, and Cruz was the attorney. Or he would cite safety or privacy. Or he would cite evidence code. I think it's 104 or evidence 140, where certain public documents do not have to be released. So he always cited these things very generically, but never gave a specific as to why you don't get certain information.
Okay.
But he's gone. And we're between county councils right now. We have an acting. Hopefully another month or two we'll have a good county council.
Yep, yep.
So, you know, what I'm doing is laying the foundation. So we have a lot happening here with especially I have been for probably 8 months now going in front of the Board of Supervisors at the microphone and telling them about Government Code 25201. And I don't have it pulled up in front of me, but it basically says the board, which is the County Board of Supervisors, they have the authority to over elections to appoint inspectors, judges, clerks. They may canvass elections. Mm-hmm. They may order the elections officials to certify elections. What an amazing law. And that law has been sitting on the books for 20 years.
And it hasn't
probably been never used.
Edited, adapted, nothing's been done to it?
Nope.
Okay, so
not yet.
So as we start to use it here in Shasta County, then Sacramento will flip it and start changing it.
Well, of course they'll retaliate if we use it, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't use it.
No, absolutely not. No, we need to use it.
Yeah, well, it's a beautiful statute.
So what all encompasses there? Say it again. It does what now?
It gives our Board of Supervisors, subject to the elections code, meaning they have to follow the elections laws, but it also gives them the authority to appoint inspectors, clerks, judges, gives them the authority to canvass elections. You know what canvass elections means? That means counting them.
That means
counting the ballots.
Yes, that's right. Yep. Verifying everything.
Absolutely. It's a beautiful statute.
So this is all pre, during, and post-election. I mean, because you're saying,
statute's very generic. It's very generic. So it gives a lot of latitude and leeway to the board if they choose to invoke this.
Well, I think they should.
And we're going to be talking about that in the second half hour.
You mean that whole big list that's been put together by volunteers, wonderful volunteers here of creating this list and going through and getting all these wonderful people that want to volunteer to help out? The board could just say, hey, let's invoke this list right here and call it good, right?
Well, there's several options right now. I'm hoping the Board of Supervisors very soon prior to the March primary, I hope they entertain and actually create a citizen advisory panel over elections. They absolutely can do that.
That would be awesome.
That's separate from the statute I just read, by the way. They don't even need that statute to create an advisory panel. So, they don't need that. Now, they do need that statute if they're going to appoint, let's say, inspectors.
Right.
And then they delegate. They use a resolution and they use either an ordinance or a board policy or both.
To
give those inspectors authorities, delegated authorities, gives them access. That's what's key.
Yeah.
Access.
Okay.
Permissions inside the elections office for election-related activities.
Interesting.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
So there's no more standing behind the tape line on the carpet.
Let's call them super observers, okay, with capes, with a big cape on the back, right?
There you go.
A red cape, whatever.
Yep.
Let's
yep.
call them super observers with delegated authority by the legislative body of the county. It's a beautiful thing.
That's good.
And once that is put into place, which I hope it's going to happen, I hope, once that's in place, Kathy Allen has no say in the matter, because if she refuses their authority, locks them out, does anything, refuses to show them something or give them access to something, then she is, and that's why I hope this is done via ordinance, because then that means it's a local law.
Okay.
Then she'll be in violation of local law. It's a beautiful thing.
Wow.
It's a beautiful thing.
See all these things that you're sharing with us, because you dive deep into the
information. I dive deep.
And you
cannonball.
Glean it all out so we can understand it.
I'm telling you.
That's awesome.
And
I like that.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing. And so what we'll do on the second half hour, I'm going to be – I meet with a team of people. We've been meeting for about 10 months now, and we war game all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We look at the laws and the gray areas and the loopholes, and we talk about policies and procedures that maybe we could put together in draft form for then the Board of Supervisors to look at and maybe put on the agenda and pass.
And adopt, yeah.
So we're working on all this stuff, right?
Okay.
So we're coming very soon. So right now, what's happening now election-wise, obviously, is the Kevin Cry recall.
Yeah.
We have concerns. There's the laws on citizens allowing to see the petitions. The citizens are not allowed to see the original petitions. The only way those petitions can be seen, if for some reason there's not enough signatures, and Kathy says there's insufficient signatures for a recall, the proponents of that recall, they have 10 days to apply and go in and examine all of the petitions.
Okay.
That's it. There was nothing. There was no other citizen inspection of those petitions.
So the guy getting recalled can't have his team go
Correct.
And look.
No, he cannot. Short of a court order, right? There's always the courts. But
it doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on. If you're being recalled,
right.
You were voted in by the citizens of your district or the entire county, mm-hmm. however it works out. But you get recalled by a group of individuals that you can't just validate or verify that, yes, indeed, that yeah. they do have the right information and they have the numbers to meet it. So, yeah, you let it go. I mean, you have to. You don't. Yeah. I mean, but if you can't, then you're always going to have that I wonder factor.
Correct.
Everybody
Absolutely.
Will have that I wonder factor.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow.
That's not right.
No.
That's not right at all.
No.
At a minimum, the person being recalled should be able to go in there.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, at a minimum, if nobody else, at least the person being recalled should
right,
be able to.
Right,
right. It's not in the law.
Their name is on the on the book there. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
So last year, I don't have it up on my computer at the moment, but last year or the year before, after the Modi recall, trust me, the mm-hmm. state wanted to change a lot of laws.
Oh, yeah, they're working
trust
on it.
Trust me, they did. Yep. Well, they did change some.
Yep.
But there was a couple others that they put in bill form, but then they went into suspense file, and they didn't pass.
Well, they're gutting and amending now.
But one of those that they put into bill form that went into suspense was that the recalled officer themselves could inspect the petitions. And I'm like, you know, that's not a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But yeah. for some reason, that bill never passed. So obviously there's some politics going on there.
You think?
You think.
Wow.
So somebody entertained it, put it into a bill, but it never passed.
Wow.
But nonetheless, I think this person being recalled, if for some reason the petitions are found sufficient. Well, I have a list here of my grievances against Kathy Allen. I've actually had to add one last week. So now I'm up to number 16. I'm up to number 16, and three of them are actual legal violations. Hmm. And then the rest of them were mostly moral and ethical violations. But, yeah, if somebody needed to get a hold of this list from me to petition a court to look at the signatures, yeah, just they know how to get a hold of me. Yeah. I'll give them my list.
Yeah, yeah.
And then present this list to the judge.
Wow.
Say, wow, Kathy Allen literally violated election codes, so maybe she can't be trusted. Permission granted to inspect the petitions. See how easy that is?
Yeah.
See how easy that is?
Wow.
That's great. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So what I'm going to do in the second half hour is, a team that I'm part of, we're developing drafts and policies and bylaws and all kinds of stuff. We're going to go into that pretty specifically because I think in the next 2 months, well, even first before that, I'm hoping to get our board of supervisors to appoint inspectors over the Kevin Cry petition validation.
Oh, absolutely.
That's happening quickly. I think the petitions are due on the 13th of September. And then Kathy has 30 days to examine and validate and then issue her certificate.
When are the dates? Because I don't know. When are the dates for this recall to be legitimized? Like, when do they have to have the signatures completed by? How many signatures do they have to have?
So roughly September 13th is the deadline to submit. They need I'm going off of a news story, so I don't know how accurate our local news is. I have questions about some of their stories sometimes. But one of the stories said 4,130 or so validated signatures. And that sounds about right because that's what we needed approximately for the Moldy recall. So it's going to be in that area.
Okay.
But they need a lot more than 4,100 because of the invalidation ratio.
Okay.
Right? So they're going to look for a 20 or 30% buffer.
Yeah.
They allegedly say they have enough, but I don't believe them. They're all a bunch of liars.
Hmm.
So we're getting close to the break. But, yeah, the second half hour is going to be interesting because now we're going to be – I'm going to be going over solutions and what we can do here locally.
Okay.
For a fair and transparent election.
Okay. Well, with that, let's go off to our break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Time has come for 51.
One, two, three. up in the hills of Northern California. We believe America is the home of the brave. What we got is earned by working it and handed out for free. We stand for the flag and pledge our allegiance for the last of a dying breed. Last of a dying breed. Where at least that's what it seems. Politicians in the big old cities are running everything. Our way of life may be simple and it's not for everyone. It's a tough state of mind, it's a state of change, it's a state of Jefferson. Sing it with me one time now. Yeah, yeah.
Cats and Dogs, on display now through September 4th, featuring immersive and interactive exhibits, games, and activities all about cats and dogs. Learn about the science and culture behind our domesticated furry friends, great for all ages. And don't miss Turtle Bay's summer animal shows, outdoor playgrounds, gardens, and more, all at the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California. Presented in memoriam by the family of Cheryl Bambauer. Cats and Dogs, the exhibition. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Don't miss the 105th annual Intermountain Fair Labor Day weekend on 8th Street in MacArthur. This year's theme is Stars and Stripes and Fair Delights. Wristbands can be purchased at the fair office or by calling 530-336-5695. The fair will feature a parade, pageant, cooks, racing pigs, livestock shows, and a junior livestock auction. Grandstand events will feature the Enduro and Little Tykes races, Destruction Derby. And the main event, Saturday night, September 2nd, Jared Hovis in concert at the Bob Thompson Arena.
So here's to the fair.
Gates open at 6 p.m. The show starts at 7. Free admission August 31st for the opening day of the 105th annual Intermountain Fair Labor Day weekend on 8th Street in MacArthur. September 1st is Senior Day. Seniors 62 and older get in free. September 2nd is Kids Day, when kids 12 and under get in free. Kids 5 and under get in free daily. Grandstand event tickets are available online at www.inter-mountainfair.com.
Journey. Oh, I saw them.
We're on a journey, that's for sure, aren't we?
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Rich, so things are happening quickly. We mentioned, you know, the Kevin Cry recall petition validation is coming very soon.
Yeah.
The March primaries season's already here. We got to start getting ready for the March primary. Remember, we have no electronic tabulators.
Yeah.
So we got some hand counting going on.
Yep.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, by the way, August 31st, Thursday night, 6 p.m., Holiday Inn Convention Center. Clint Curtis will be here.
That's right.
We'll be doing some hand counting demonstrations for the public to see, which will be a beautiful thing.
Yep. Kind of like what he did on our podcast.
Yes.
I mean, that was an abbreviated version of what he's going to do.
Yep.
But,
yep.
Yeah.
Please show up. It's a free event, but they will be asking for donations to cover the cost of the event. That is a fairly expensive place to rent. So, government code 25201.
25201.
We're in such dire straits with our elections.
Yeah.
At the state and federal level. But the key is all the elections are ran at the local level.
Right.
All of them.
Yeah.
Your county registrar of voters.
Yep.
Runs it all. But the fraud is everywhere. It's in the laws. The ballot harvesting. I mean, it's just crazy.
It's legal to ballot harvest in California.
It's legal to do all kinds of fraud because there's a lot of – some of it is just outright fraudulent. You can ballot harvest as many ballots as you want from anybody you want.
Wait, as many from one individual?
Yeah, there's no limit. There's no limit in the law on the ballot harvesting. There's no limit. So, and then the gray areas and the loopholes in these laws are there intentionally to allow fraud.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in my humble opinion, this government code, which I have, again, 8 months ago, I think, I mentioned it to the Board of Supervisors. I said, we need to use this law. This is a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a football dude. This is a Hail Mary. We have to use this law.
Okay.
We have no other choice. The state continues to retaliate against conservative jurisdictions.
Mm-hmm.
And that retaliation takes the form of reduced sovereignty, right? They take away your local control.
Bit by bit.
Bit by bit.
Yep.
So if anybody thinks that the state's not going to continue
to
retaliate and take our local control and sovereignty, they're on a different planet.
Yeah.
Okay. This 25-201, this is our last chance.
Okay.
The system is 98% fraudulent. The fraud is ingrained in so many parts and processes.
98% fraudulent?
That's my humble opinion. Okay.
Well, big.
Well, it's well over half, I can tell you that for sure, but I'm going to give it a 98% fraud. Okay? As much as I've studied the election code in the last 2.5 years, it's horrible. We have to invoke this law. Okay. We better do it now, and we need to do it now before the state changes it.
Okay. Okay, well let's see what we can do to get that done. I mean, we just have to have 3 on the board to do it, right? Like anything
yes.
else. This is not one of those 4/5 things. Is
no.
It?
No.
Okay.
No.
I mean, because some.
I've been told we only need 3.
3. Okay.
To pass a resolution for election oversight.
Okay.
Unlike budgetary items, which tend to be 4 out of 5.
Right.
So I would hope people start thinking about. Well, here's the argument against it. Well, why don't you trust Kathy? Well, let me get out my 2-page, 16-point list as to why Kathy Allen is not to be trusted.
Well, just by her presence in the boardroom that I've witnessed multiple times, by sitting there or by watching it online, she never wants to be there, number one.
Right.
Ever wants to be there.
Right.
She doesn't want people hearing what she has to say. She doesn't want to say anything worthy.
Right.
And but then when she does say something, it's always on attack. She's attacking individuals. She's attacked Kevin. She's attacked you. She's attacked Patrick. She's attacked multiple people and said things. And she's attacked, other citizens just trying to be good sovereign citizens watching what's going on. And it's always about the attack with her. It's never about answering the question. She doesn't answer the questions that are before her.
Correct.
And that to me is very frustrating. It's like she's acting like a petulant child.
It's more than frustrating.
Happens. Yeah.
It's more than frustrating, yes. So the arguments against appointing additional oversight against her are going to be very weak.
Okay.
They're going to be very weak. Why don't you trust her? Well, here's my list.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. You're going to disenfranchise voters. No, actually. A citizen check and balance.
That
a citizen check and balance over a government body.
Empowers the voters.
Well, how is that ever a bad thing?
It's not. Ever.
I mean, like LAPD, they've had citizen oversight panel for decades.
Okay.
I've never heard of any controversy coming out of that I don't know if it's oversight or advisory. Those are two different things. But, I mean, citizen oversight has been around for decades.
Well, of
course. Just depends on what part of the country and what entity was being advised or had oversight.
Yeah.
This is not a new thing.
Right.
So if we continue to do the same things, we're going to get the same results.
Yeah. Sanity.
I heard an earlier talk show host this morning say maybe it's time for Shasta County to start doing things outside the box. Gee, yeah, I'm going to have to agree with that.
You have to think outside the box.
I'm going to agree with that.
9% of the time, because what's in the box is where you, as a citizen, have been confined to by the government.
Correct.
So step outside that box, start thinking about stuff and looking at it from that perspective.
So it's possible there's going to be something soon where the board is going to be looking at invoking Government Code 25201.
Okay.
So they'll need to pass a resolution first, mm-hmm. a generic resolution that says we've read this law and we choose to invoke this law. And as long as it's a generic resolution, all five board members can vote on it. As long as it doesn't specifically target any particular elections or cycles. If it's just a nice generic, all right, we're going to invoke 25201, boom, resolution passes.
Okay.
And I really hope after that, I hope we can get some kind of oversight over these. If there's enough signatures turned in for the CRI recall, I hope we can get some inspectors appointed.
But we have to have the 25201 before that.
Well, yeah, the resolution to invoke 25201. That's it. Okay. Very simple resolution.
Okay, gotcha. All right.
And then any action beyond that are separate actions, but they're based off of that resolution. And we're going to need oversight over these petition validations because I don't trust Kathy, and a lot of people don't trust her. She has too much control over these petitions. Remember, we talked about how these petitions are not subject to citizen review.
Scrutiny, yeah.
Only the proponents get to see them if the petition fails.
The 20 people that decided to put it together.
Yeah, 20 or 30, whatever the number is.
Yeah.
So we need that. We have to have oversight over her. I don't trust her, and I have many reasons to not trust her.
Okay.
So beyond that, though, so people, if you guys like this idea of having some election oversight, just in general, generic election oversight.
Email you.
Even some of you that like Kathy or trust Kathy, remember, if you have nothing to hide,
right,
then show us.
Right.
It's very simple, right?
And if you
simple.
If you have this invoked and it shows that you were doing everything correctly, you know,
then you're off the hook.
You're off the hook.
You're off the hook.
Exactly. Just it validates what you said. You know,
absolutely.
No problem. Okay.
So
good to go.
Anybody, if you think citizen oversight over election is a good thing,
email your board of supervisors.
Please contact your board of supervisors.
Yep.
Email them, call them, visit them in person. But make sure you make positive contact with them.
Yes.
I don't trust, at this moment, I don't trust the county email system, honestly. Hmm. Sorry?
No. Well,
there's too much nefariousness going on in the background. Even our Chair Jones, he's got some subversives working that are refusing to follow his directives, putting things on the agenda, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
There's subversives working within our county government right now.
Yep.
Those people need to be written up and fired for insubordination. That is ridiculous.
I agree. That is unacceptable.
It is extremely unacceptable.
I can't believe that people would do that. They would risk everything to do that. What are they hiding and who are they working for?
So my point is, I don't trust the email system.
Okay.
If you email your board members, they may not get it. So email them, great. Hopefully that gets on the record. But please follow up with a phone call or a personal visit. Most of our board members.
Or mail it.
Mail it certified. Yep. You better mail it certified.
Yep.
Yes, it's going to cost you $5.
Big deal, $5.
But trust me, I do a lot of certified mailings, and there's a reason for that.
Yeah, CYA.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And when the recipient gets that, they're like, uh-oh, I can't RAND file this one. It's being tracked.
Yep.
So next thing we're going to talk about is separating the paper ballots. Okay. I brought this up, I've actually brought it up 6 or 7 months ago with that team that I'm meeting with.
So what do you mean by separating the paper ballots? What does that mean?
Physically separating the countywide races. Any race within the counties, school districts, water districts, county offices, city offices, any countywide race, literally on a separate paper ballot with a separate envelope.
Separate from the state
and federal. Separate from the state and federal races.
Gotcha.
There's a reason for that.
Okay.
Again, I said about the laws. The fraud is ingrained in the laws.
Mm-hmm.
So we separate the state and federal ballot. We follow 100% all the state and federal laws on that state and federal ballot.
Right.
Okay? There's not going to be any issues there.
Right.
Remember what I said about taking control and reclaiming our sovereignty, our local control here.
Right.
We take that separate countywide ballot, and we put in place voter ID. By the way, there's no state law that prohibits voter ID, by the way. It doesn't prohibit it. No, it doesn't mandate it either.
Interesting.
So we actually can even put in voter ID in Shasta County for even the state and federal ballots. It's not prohibited.
Well, it's kind of ironic because I've different polling places that I've had to go to over the course of years because I live in the same area in the district. in the same district for 20-plus years. So I've had to go to different polling locations and seen some of the same people working the polls, different people. Over the years, I've had to show my ID, and then other years, I go to show my ID, and they don't want to see it. And I said, no, I want you to see it.
Yep.
I want you to see that it's me and that my address is legit on my driver's license that you're looking at on that sheet. And most of them appreciate that.
Yep.
I did have a couple of them before in the past that, you know, they were uncomfortable when I did it.
Yeah.
But like I told them, I said, you're not asking for it. I'm asking you to look at it.
Right.
Because that's the way I feel. It's just, you know, I want to make sure it's legitimized and I can help them do their job a little bit better.
And so other things that our Board of Supervisors, if they were to choose, and again, the money, it's about the money, right?
Yeah.
Separating the ballots with envelopes, especially if it's a multi-page ballot for a general election. It might cost us a couple $100,000 to separate the ballot, right? Printing costs.
Worth every penny.
Yeah. Just separating the ballot, right? Mm-hmm. And that means they're going to get counted separately and everything else. It might cost us a couple $100,000.
Which is basically a dollar a person.
Buck and a half a person.
Yeah.
But so we have the money's there. The money's in a general fund. I've said this many times.
Yeah.
We have a very bloated private security contract
by
Securitas. $1.2 million a year, folks, per year. A very bloated contract, probably loaded with kickbacks. Okay?
Interesting.
Yeah, and there's a 30-day opt-out on that contract. So the county can, within 30 days, give them notice that we're going to amend that contract. So let's cut that back to maybe a couple $100,000 a year. Maybe have a security guard in a child support office and some heated stuff goes on there. There's maybe some key spots where you want a physical security guard. So let's cut that back, and that's $1 million we can put back in the general fund. We have plenty of money.
Well,
plenty of money to separate our ballots.
Well, the savings that we're going to have from not using the Dominion machines.
And
being in that contract.
Take us a couple of years to realize those savings because of the equipment purchases we've done. But, absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
So, excuse me. So, again, the money's there. But other things that the board can do, I talked about they can do IDs. There are some things that they're going to get, the board's going to be proposed, which are going to be kind of, they're going to be kind of bold and kind of brave, and they're going to kind of skirt the envelope of following state law. But there's other states that do certain things, such as Florida. They close their registration. I believe it's 90 days out.
90 days prior to
an election.
90
days prior to an election. Nobody else. No more registrations. That's it. You're Dunsky. Nothing after that.
No
same day registrations.
Not like
none
they did
that
in Georgia
BS.
Where they all moved in and just did their.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And Florida does voter ID, by the way, at the precincts. It's in their state code. It's a beautiful thing.
Awesome.
But there's certain things that we're going to proposed to our board that are going to be, there's probably going to be some challenges. But again, if we stay in the box, if we don't change things, what are we going to get? We're going to get the same results, right?
Or worse.
So, what else here? I'm looking down my list here real quick. By the way, I'll say his name because he's been public before with open letters to the County Board of Supervisors. So Alexander Haberbusch, right? He's a local lawyer based in Long Beach.
Yeah.
I think he's an expert in election law, but he definitely knows election law.
Yeah.
So he is aware of this government code, 25201.
Okay.
And he likes it.
Okay.
He likes it.
Yeah.
I was able to speak with him last week.
We had.
And he answered quickly. I said, Alex, are you aware of this law? He says, yes. He says, it's very interesting law. It basically gives the County Board of Supervisors the authority to run the elections. I'm like, yes, sir. That's exactly how I read it, you know, subject to election code.
Yeah.
And I said, well, we might be invoking that law up here with inspectors and clerks to oversee the elections office. His words, almost verbatim, were, that is a very good tactic. Hmm. Those were his words to me. He loves this law.
Okay.
So so we have I think, a very good lawyer that thinks, might be something there.
Okay.
Absolutely. But, again, we can change things. We can, for the countywide ballot, no more mail-out ballots. You have to request absentee.
Gotcha.
Okay? No more 100% mail-outs.
Right.
We can go back to the way things were 20, 25 years ago with paper ballots and all the policies, procedures, the timelines. No more ballot harvesting.
And what about
except maybe a family member, maybe an immediate family member in the same household. There's always exceptions, right?
Right, right.
So maybe the county ballot, ballot harvesting by somebody in the same household.
Yeah.
Registered at the same address.
If they have mobility issues and things of that nature. Yeah, there's always an exception.
But you can harvest for your family if they live in the same house.
Right.
Military people, right? There's always going to be exceptions for military folks and their spouses.
Right.
There's always going to be exceptions to this stuff. But we can take out most of the fraud that the state and federal laws allow.
Okay.
And we can put in our own policies and procedures for this countywide ballot. Yes, there will be challenges. But if we're rooted in moral ethics, fair and transparent,
mm-hmm.
as long as whatever we put into place, we can say it's moral, it's ethical, it encourages fair and transparency.
Mm-hmm.
We might go to court on it. We probably will go to court on some of this stuff if we put it in place. But if you're right, and constitutionally, right, remember,
yep.
Foster v. Love. Election day is one day.
Yep.
So we use morals, ethics, fair and transparency, the Constitution, and we will find ourselves in court. But it's going to be really hard for a judge to say, You know what I'm saying? It's going to be hard for a judge to say, well, you violated state law, but we're going to be able to prove how the state law encourages the fraud and how anything we put in place actually discourages the fraud.
Right.
We're never going to get rid of it. It's just not going to happen. It's not possible.
Okay.
System's too dynamic.
Okay.
But we can greatly reduce it.
Okay.
Absolutely we can. We just have to grab the bull by the horns.
Go for it.
You know what I mean?
Yep. And you have to have a board that is willing to do that.
I think we have a board majority now that
I believe so.
I believe, because I do talk to them. I think they do realize what dire straits our election system is in.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen the results.
Right.
Nationwide, statewide, and even locally.
Yeah.
What happens when you don't have a fair and transparent election? And it's almost gone. I'm sorry.
And that's all the more reason why the recall needs not to be successful.
Correct.
Because they're going to end up having the governor appoint. They all say no, you know, the opposition, from what I've heard, what I've witnessed on audio and video.
Yep.
I've not spoken to those people, but what I've witnessed in that regard is that they don't get it. They don't think he's going to appoint. Oh, no, he's not going to appoint. Yes, he will.
Yeah.
And he'll make an example out
of it. He just appointed two Democrat
County.
Judges.
He did.
One of them being Ben Hanna, who probably involved in a nefarious dog fire settlement, but that's a whole other phone call. That's another show. But So another thing we can do with our countywide ballot, we can clean up the voter rolls.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, we can do that without separating the ballot, but we have to clean up the voter rolls.
That is supposed to be cleaned up and maintained on a monthly basis. But
there's a lot of gray areas and loopholes. I've looked at the laws, the federal and the state laws on the voter roll maintenance. There's gray areas and loopholes. It's not solid. Our county board can absolutely put in county ordinances and policies that mandate to Kathy Allen do certain things regarding the voter roll maintenance. They absolutely can do that.
Okay.
They have that jurisdiction. Okay?
Okay.
That's part of 25201, canvassing elections.
Okay.
Okay. So the voter rolls it's part and parcel of an election.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So if they're given the authority to canvass elections, I would say they have the authority to order Kathy Allen via ordinance or county policy to increase her voter roll maintenance activities, let's call them.
Okay.
Because they're
duties.
the sheriff, in fact, right now I don't have the case number in front of me, but one of our local groups has a current voter fraud case in front of the sheriff right now, and he's had it for 6 months.
I just saw that
not
too long ago.
Yeah, so I don't have the code, or excuse me, the report number, but unfortunately I don't know that we're going to get much results out of that, but good for them for filing it, because we need to continue to have a big stack of paper with our election concerns. We have to continue to do that. And then some other stuff we can do is...
That's it right there?
That's it, yeah. 22SO-35986. That's the report number sitting with the sheriff's investigator right now. We talked about earlier we can do one-day voting. Already did that.
Okay.
We talk about ballot harvesting. I'm just going down my list here, folks, because the hour is almost up. In 2022, Senate Bill 1131 was passed in California. You know what that did win?
What number of Senate Bill?
Senate Bill 1131.
No, what did that one do?
That made the election precinct citizen workers, that made their names secret, not releasable to the public.
What?
I'm just telling you. Do you want secret election workers win?
Coming from China or any other?
I'm just saying.
Country that's
do you
not
want your election workers to not be known by the public?
No, absolutely
thank you
not.
Very much.
No.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely not. Yeah. Everything has to be transparent.
So that happened after the November, I think it was the Modi recall. I records acted the poll workers' names. Guess what happened the month after I did my records act?
This.
Retaliation. A month after I did my records act, probably Kathy. Yeah, I'm going to throw her under the bus.
Yeah.
She probably called the state and said, hey, Gallardo just records acted the poll workers' names. Okay, cool. Senate Bill 1131 passed. Urgency statute. Yeah, urgency. No longer can get the precinct poll workers. Your fellow citizens, your neighbors and friends, you don't get to have their names officially.
What kind of crap?
Can I say crap?
Yes.
What kind of crap is that?
Yeah. Wow. That's so wrong.
It's extremely wrong. This is part of Kathy Allen, and she is not trustworthy.
She's just
at all.
It sounds like she's building a fortress around herself to insulate herself from scrutiny of any kind.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just on the general appearance from afar from my perspective, because I'm not dealing with her, not talking to her, nothing.
Yeah. So we've got a lot coming. We have a lot coming, I hope, before the March primary. We hope we're going to have a full hand counting process in place. There are attorneys, not the state attorney, not the secretary of state people. There are other private attorneys helping us with this. So hopefully we'll have a good hand counting process in place for the March primary. That includes cameras.
And where are they going to be able to do it? Are they going to do it in their new location?
As far as I can tell right now, Kathy Allen has basically gutted the old office at the old mall downtown.
She's at 1450.
She's moved all her operations to Court Street. Again, the news story. I don't know if I can believe the news story. The old location is supposed to be used for ballot storage, and I believe it's at hand counting. So, and that place is big enough. There's enough large rooms, and there's already cameras in there too. So that's another thing. For the March primary for hand counting, we need to have cameras, and they need to actually be above the table, looking straight down on the table.
Yeah.
And maybe a couple of cameras in the corners to show in the overall room, right?
Right.
We definitely need cameras showing each table.
Oh, absolutely.
So live when appropriate.
Yeah.
Okay? Because you can't go live prior to the results being released.
Right.
Okay, but you can videotape prior to that and then archive it for later viewing.
Mm-hmm.
And then once the results are allowed to be released, at that point those cameras should be live and archived.
Yes.
Absolutely. Did I say fair and transparent?
Yep.
Yes, I did. Many times. So, again, the oversight. I talked about the costs. Drop boxes. Interesting. We only have a couple minutes left, but we can change the locations of drop boxes, even according to state law, believe it or not, right now we can change.
Like not having them, period?
No, we have to have them, but we can change locations and access, and then we throw cameras on them.
And security. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, so we can change drop boxes, so we're going to look into that for the March primary. Absolutely, we can. Let's see, provisionals. It'd be nice if we could change local recall procedures and policies also by ordinance, but that's something we'll have to look into maybe next year.
Okay.
Depending on how many recalls start coming. there's a local, well, I'm not going to say who because it's preliminary, but there's another local jurisdiction board president where proponent signatures are being gathered against this person right now. And probably by next month, there'll be enough proponents. So there may be another recall starting very quickly.
Oh, jeez.
But it's not a patriot being recalled. It's one of the establishment people that need to go. So anyways, there's just so much going on. There's so many moving parts. The state continues to retaliate against us, whether it be in a legal form, in a bill or a law, or the Secretary of State's proposed regulations, right? Those are still, I don't know what the hell's going on with them.
Yeah.
Right, they've had hearings. They're supposed to have multiple hearings, and then they amend them, and then this and that, and then eventually they get put in place. And, I mean, it's just a mess. It's such a mess.
Wow.
I think we can, depending on the time. We got 1 minute, so I'm not even going to start. So, but lots to go on. So, people, if you like election oversight, please send your ideas to your county board of supervisors. They're the ones that are going to make this happen.
Absolutely, and
call them, email them,
whatever you
in person. Just make sure you follow up so that your word to your board of supervisors, make sure it gets to them.
That's right, and register it if you have to. a letter to them. But, you know, like you said, $5, big deal. It's worth $5.
Absolutely. So please, we need all the help we can get. The court of public opinion is where we win this battle.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I appreciate the time.
Hey, Rich, thank you for coming on. We appreciate it, and hopefully we all learned a little bit about what's going on.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right. Well, the time has come for 51.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the building?